Five Smooth Stones. That's the title of our message this morning. David chose five smooth stones out of the brook. We're going to look at those five stones, as it were, today. Now, we're not taking, as it were, those five stones from the brook, but from the book, the book. Five stones from the greatest book of all, the Bible, five gospel stones, as it were, that we want to consider this morning. The message written on the stones. So what is the message written on David's five smooth stones today? Well, now let's take the first stone out of the brook, or out of the book, I should say. Let's examine it, because there's writing on it today, folks. And this is the message of the first stone. No authority but the Word of God. No authority but the Word of God. That is the message that the church must proclaim today. It's a message that must be sounded out from the pulpits today. No authority but the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God is our authority in the church. I mentioned on Thursday night to the friends who were here about the regulative principle of worship. It's a phrase that our forefathers talked about, but you don't hear it mentioned very much today. The regulative principle of worship. And basically what it is, or what it means, is there is something that regulates the worship that takes place in God's house. Something controls the worship that takes place in God's house. So what is this regulative principle of worship? Well, you've guessed it already. It's the Word of God. It's the Bible that controls how we worship God. The Bible is the thermostat, if you like. There's a thermostat over there. Controls the heating in the church. See this book here? This book is the thermostat for the worship that takes place under this roof. You see, have a wee look at David's stone again. No authority but the Word of God. None. It's the only authority that we have, the only authority that we abide by. There was a man in 2 Samuel 23, verse 10, you read of him. His name was Eleazar, one of those unknown heroes of the Bible. But in 2 Samuel 23, verse 10, it tells us that he fought the Philistines single-handedly. And the whole day long he had the sword, and he was swinging the sword at the Lord's enemies. And boy, he made short work of them. But there's a lovely phrase in that verse. Listen to it. His hand clave onto the sword. Beautiful words from the Authorized Version. His hand clave onto the sword. In other words, his hand was, you might say, frozen to the sword. He physically couldn't let go of the sword. He had a vice-like grip of the sword. And no Philistine was going to knock the sword out of his hand that day. Good old Eleazar. And boy, I tell you, we need Eleazars in the church today. They're not going to let go of the sword of the Spirit. It's the only authority. Luther, Martin Luther, that is. He said on one occasion, "My conscience is captive to the Word of God." You know where he said it? At the Diet of Worms. Nothing to do with a diet or nothing to do with worms. It's just the name of the conference that was taking. Excuse me. The conference that was taking place. It was a conference organized by the Roman Catholic Church. Luther was called to appear before it. This upstart from Germany, coming out with these new ideas, which, by the way, they weren't new ideas at all. They were just getting back to the Bible. I think the church today would need to get back to the Bible. I'm not speaking about this church. I'm talking about the church in the West in general. We're like Laodicea today, you know, folks in the West. Laodicea. You want to read about the church at Laodicea? Go home and read the end of Revelation chapter 3. And Jesus says, "I would thou wert cold or hot, but because thou art lukewarm, tepid, I will spew thee out of my mouth." Boy, there's a lot of tepid Christians about today. A lot of lukewarm Christians, snowflakes around today. Well, Luther wasn't a snowflake, and neither was Eliezer. They believed in the regulative principle of worship, that there's no authority but the Word of God. Government is not the authority for worship in God's house. Church councils are not the authority. Other churches are not the authority. Mind you, you've got a lot of people today in the same, but this church is doing this, and that church is doing that, and we better do the same. And you see, Francis, they've got it all wrong. Lord, what do you want us to do in your house? And the Lord says, excuse me, you've got a book there. It's called the Bible. Maybe you'd like to read it. Maybe you'd like to read the Maker's instructions, the Maker's manual, the Maker of the church. Maybe you'd like to read the instructions. And if you do and you obey them, you'll not go far wrong. In fact, you'll not go wrong at all. Oh, some people think the mainstream media are the authority when it comes to places of worship. The mainstream media. You'd be amazed at how many people are connected to the mainstream media. It's almost like an intravenous drip. 3 times a day, morning, noon, and night. The news. We've got to watch the news. Got to see the news. The only problem is that it's left-wing propaganda and people are being poisoned. They're being poisoned and brainwashed by this intravenous drip from the mainstream media. There would have been a time when you could have watched the news and believed it, but not anymore. Oh, I remember growing up in the 80s and 90s, and I suppose I'm kind of giving my age away. But you know, back in those days, you could have believed the news because the mainstream media were trustworthy. But not anymore, folks. And the quicker you realize that, the better. The mainstream media for the last 20 years have been nothing but biased liars. So you want a wee word of advice today? Pull that intravenous drip out. Don't let the mainstream media poison you anymore. Poison your system. Poison your brain, your mind. And here's a better piece of advice. Get into the book. Go to the authority. God said it. That settles it. I believe it. That settles me. You hear that? God said it. That settles it. I believe it, and that settles me. What a lovely stone, David's first stone from the brook. No authority but the word of God. Let's take another one of those smooth stones. What's the writing on this stone? No priest but Christ. No priest but Christ. Hebrews chapter 7, 24. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Spurgeon said, "Hands off, ye priests. You are too feeble for such weights as ours. Our sins are too stupendous for your puny strength. But the Lord comes with his own right hand of majesty, puts away our sins and lifts them onto Christ. And Christ comes and flings them into his sepulchre, and they are gone and buried forever." Hallelujah. If you're saved today, you're your priest. The Lord Jesus has buried your sins forever. They'll never be remembered against you again. They are forgiven, forgotten, forever. I like the sound of that. Do you know the priest today has this priest at God's right hand, has he forgiven your sins today? Because you know he's the only priest that can forgive your sins. You've heard the story, I'm sure, before of the old priest who came to the dying lady in the hospital and he said, "Madam, I have come to give you absolution. I've come to forgive your sins." And the wise old believer, she just said to the priest, "Sir, would you mind holding out your hands? Let me see your hands." And the old priest held out the hands and boy, he got a red face. Because you know what the lady said? "The priest who forgives my sins has nail prints in his hands." Aye, the old priest was an impostor, as all priests are. Supposedly taking the place of Christ, but they cannot do it. It's impossible. Because as we look at the second of David's five smooth stones today, the message is no priest but Christ. Third stone from the brook or from the book today, no sacrifice but Calvary. No sacrifice but Calvary. That is the message that we must preach today. It was the message of our forefathers, the reformers. We've got to get back to it today. No sacrifice but Calvary. Hebrews 9:28. Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. The word "once" there is the Greek word hapax. It literally means once for all time. The Mass is a redundant act. Yeah, you heard me right. It's redundant. Because Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Once in the end of the world, he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Moses climbed to the top of Mount Sinai and held up the Ten Commandments and said, "Do and live." But Jesus climbed to the top of Mount Calvary and held up five bleeding wounds and said, "Look and live. Look and live." Oh, that's the gospel today. Look and live. That's why we held all the drive-in services. You know, other churches didn't bother and just sat at home. Maybe wondered why there's them enthusiasts, them head cases out preaching in the church car park. Folks, why did we do it? It's because of this glorious gospel. All you got to do is look to Christ and live, because there's no sacrifice but Calvary. Jesus, my great high priest, offered his blood and died. My guilty conscience seeks no sacrifice beside. His powerful blood did once atone, and now it pleads before the throne. You've listened well. We're nearly finished. Stone number four, no confessional but the throne of grace. There's no confessional for the sinner but the throne of grace. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus is on this throne. It's called the throne of the grace here, but it's called the throne of grace here in Hebrews, but it's really the throne of the universe. And that's where Jesus is today, folks, and you remember it. You go onto your phone and social media today and all the left-wing media outlets, boy, they would nearly have you thinking that Jesus Christ has been knocked off his throne. Now, do you honestly think that a virus is going to knock him off his throne? It's not going to happen. Nothing or no one is going to knock him off his throne of grace. But isn't it lovely that it is a throne of grace? And you can come today as a sinner and receive his mercy. And if you're a believer today and you're at rock bottom and you... life for you is really at its lowest ebb, and it could well be. And your pastor knows nothing about it today. You see, pastors don't know everything. Some folk think, oh, the pastor knows everything. He should know everything. Pastors are only flesh and blood, and they certainly don't know everything about their congregations, and I suppose there's times that's a good thing. But maybe, believer, you're struggling today. Oh, the going's tough. Strength is gone. You can find grace at this throne of grace to help you in your time of need. There's an abundant grace that flows from this throne of grace, strengthening grace. Come to it today. Behold the throne of grace, the promise calls us near. There Jesus shows a smiling face and waits to answer prayer. You do know that the Savior is smiling today on his throne. He smiles at you, his child, and he invites you to come and receive fresh strength from him today. Detox today at the throne of grace. Detox yourself from the propaganda and the lies that are out there. The poison that you've been exposed to. And come to that throne of grace and bask on the rays of the Sun of Righteousness. And find your soul refreshed today. These are very nice stones today, these five smooth stones, but I've only told you about four. Let me tell you about the fifth as we finish. There's a good message on this stone too. Do you know what it is? No purgatory but the blood of Christ. No purgatory but the blood of Christ. Hebrews 9:22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. The doctrine of purgatory was invented by the Church of Rome in the year 1274. Invented, I say, because the purgatory is a complete hoax. Yes, you heard me right. This place that the church, that Romanism proclaims, purgatory, it's a complete hoax. It doesn't exist. There's only two places at the end of life's journey that we will go to, and that's heaven or hell. At the end of the day, it's only the New Jerusalem or the lake of fire. There's no purgatory, or as our Protestant forefathers called it, pickpocket purgatory. Pickpocket purgatory. That's all it is, stealing money from people who believe they can pay their way into heaven, but it can't be done. No, friends, there's only one purgatory. In other words, one place where your soul can be purged. And that's at Calvary, where the blood of Christ was shed. Do you want to be clean today? There's a whole lot of people are running about and they're looking for sanitizer for their hands. But you know what they need above all? Sanitizer for their souls. Sanitizer for their souls. You can have clean hands, and I know that you all do have clean hands. Your hands are cleaner than they've ever been before. But you can have clean hands and still end up in hell. Sure, what's the point of it all? What you really need is a clean soul. And I've got the perfect sanitizer for your soul today. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. The church is clean, but what about your soul? Your hands are clean, but what about your soul? Will you say with the hymn writer today, I hope you really will, wash me, O Lamb of God, wash me from sin. By thine atoning blood, O make me clean. Purge me from every stain. Let me thine image gain. In love and mercy reign o'er all within. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for what you have been saying to us today. Thank you, Lord, for the teaching of your word. Thank you for the glorious gospel. We make no apologies for preaching it today. And we thank you that the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Grant, Lord, that souls will believe today and be cleansed in the blood of Christ, for it's in his name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Well, a couple of verses of our final hymn, On the Golden Streets of Heaven, All Men Hope to Walk Someday. We'll stand together, please, as we sing. And of course, the chorus has those wonderful words, I'm depending on the blood. I hope you are.